depressed. But when I look to Christ, I am at rest. Two disciples. Christ had been crucified. They walk on the road to Emmaus, crushed, shattered, broken, dreams gone. And as they walk, all of a sudden, they come, and Christ comes to them. And all the words of Scripture are open to them. And all of a sudden, they get it, that Christ, who died, was to rise again, and then to live forever. But just not another person. The very God who created all this incredible universe came to earth for you, for me. Summer is around the corner, at least so we hope. May I suggest some excellent therapy for you this summer? If you get away, and I hope you do get away from this city, get perspective. Go off into the country. Tilt your head up to the skies at night when it's pitch black outside, and let your eyes gravitate to those stars, and all of a sudden you will see them multiply and put your life in perspective. Read Psalm 139, as our leader so wonderfully read, and also Isaiah chapter 40. Friends, if there is one thing I can give to you, and there's only one gift, it's for you to know eternal God. For the strongest thing in any person's life is what they're focused on. Focus on nations, on rulers, on yourself. You will be crushed. Focused on God, and your strength will be renewed. And you will run. You will not be weary. And you will walk, and you will gain new strength. Dear friends, you see, the Bible is God's word. It's a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path. God does not change in the least. He is not, I'm sorry, progressive. The truth of God does not change. It's immutable. It doesn't change. You see, God's life does not change. It never does. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Before the mountains were born, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God, it says. But you're the same, and your years have no end. I'm the first and the last. He created all things from the beginning to the end, and not as our creator. The question was, one little child asked, who made God? See, friends, he was and is always, and there he exists forever. He is always the same. He does not grow older. He does not gain new powers. He does not lose those that he once had. He does not mature, or he does not develop. Unthinkable for us, but yet that's what the Scriptures tell us. He does not get stronger. He does not get weaker. He does not get wiser as time goes by. And, oh, I hadn't thought about that before. He is already perfect. And being perfect, he cannot change for the worse. We creatures, though, we change. And we are mutable. God, the Creator, does not change, and he will never change. God's character does not change. There are stresses and shocks in life and circumstances in the course of human life. Tastes change, outlooks change, tempers change. The kind of person can become a person that was very kind to be a bitter or crotchety person. Or perhaps when you retire, some people retire and they become gripey, grumpy, and they golf all day. But perhaps we can be grateful, glowing, glorious, and grateful and thankful. But nothing can alter, friends, the character of God. The character of God is today and always will be exactly as it was in Bible times and exactly for all eternity. Friends, God's truth does not change either. We humans sometimes say that what we do, well, we didn't really mean what we said. Because we do not only know our mind, right? Our views change. We cannot stand to those things that we said in the past. And all of us sometimes have to recall our words. Oh, I misspoke. Isn't that what you hear all the time? We have to eat our word. The facts refute our perspectives. But not so the words of God. They stand forever. Scripture says, all flesh is grass, and its loveliness is like the flower of the field. Wasn't it just yesterday that there were beautiful flowers and everything, and they just withered away? Well, now the flowers are coming back. But the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. God stands, and all his promises and his purposes. And they're not relics of a bygone age. Eternally valid. And Jesus said, the scriptures cannot be broken. And so you sometimes wonder, hey, and I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself just as much. You sometimes ask, is there a reason why perhaps from time to time our faith is a little feeble, a little wobbly, a little flabby? Well, I guess we consider ourselves to be progressive people. Modern people cherish, listen, great thoughts of themselves. And as a rule, we have small thoughts or no thoughts of God himself. Well, how are you thinking of things today? You do you. You are the center of the universe. And where does that get us? Today, vast emphasis is laid on the thought that God is personal. And we leave expression that God is a person like us, weak, inadequate, ineffective, a little pathetic. But this is not the God of the Bible. Our personal lives are finite, limited on all ways in space and time and knowledge and power. But God is not limited. He's eternal and infinite and almighty. J.I. Packer, the great theologian, said this, he has us in his hands, but we never have him in ours. Like us, he is personal, but unlike us, he is great and he is majestic. Self has become the modern substitute for the soul. It's all about me. And people have all kinds of mental and health issues. May I suggest we change perspective? We are not the center of the universe, according to the scriptures. God is. Wow, that's novel. And God's truth abides forever. Now, you see, if you have a right perspective of God, and we'll get to that little video in a moment, things change. First of all, we need to remove our thoughts and limits that would make God small. And number two, we'll look at compare him with powers, as we see in Isaiah chapter 40. Compare him with the powers and the forces that we regard as great. Psalm 139, so eloquently read. The psalmist meditates on the infinite and unlimited nature of God's presence, knowledge and power in relations to many. There's no bounds to his presence, no limits of his knowledge. I am never alone. It doesn't matter, friends, where you go. You can go to the depths of the seas. You can go up into the galaxies. You can go on that little beach, lying there, soaking up a few rays near a Google headquarters. And God is there. He's there. And it says, even before a word is on my tongue, because so often there was an old singer, his name was Roger Whittaker, say, if I knew just what to say, I could talk all night, night and day, but I can't seem to get the words arranged. You find it strange. But even before there's a word on my tongue, and I don't even know how to articulate the thoughts that I really do have, he knows. And before I was even conceived, before I was even a twinkle in my father's eye, as they say, God knew me and every single day of my life. And he saw my life and my body being formed in my mother's womb. Get that? You say, well, that blows my mind. You haven't seen anything yet, friends. And this is what the scripture says. The all-seeing God is also God Almighty, seen in the amazing complexity of her own physical body, which he made for me. Read Psalm, please, 139 over this summer. It will blow you away. And you will say, how majestic is his name in all the earth. And you'll feel small, but you'll feel so close and connected and not lost in this cosmos because you're connected to the one that made me. He is with me, which we will celebrate in this communion. And that's why Christ came. The second big thing, and that's Isaiah chapter 40, which was read. He compared God with powers and forces which we regard as great. So we'll think, according to these scriptures, wow, these are great forces. And here in verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollows of his hand? Have you ever been on the ocean? We took a cruise to Antarctica. We went to the tip of South America and we went through the Drake Passage. And it's either a Drake Lake or a Drake Shake. 5 meter high waves, and it was calm the other ways. And it goes on forever. Have you been across the Pacific? Have you been across vast things? And what does it say? Well, all that water is just like a tiny little drop in the palm of his hand, so to speak. Wow. And then what else do we see? We see that, well, the heavens, the dust of the earth, wow. The mountains. You look at these mountains, maybe some of you will head off to the Rocky Mountains or the Swiss Alps where I used to hike, or other places, the Himalayas, or maybe in Tibet, Nepal, or who knows what. And it's just like, wow, they look so huge and overwhelming and majestic. And it's just like, I'm like a little speck of dust. But those mountains are as nothing before God. And you see, God speaks to his people whose mood is the mood of many today. Mental health, despondent, depressed people, despairing people, because their world, they are the center of their little world. Despairing people, people against whom the tide of events have turned against them, people who have ceased to believe that the cause of Christ perhaps can ever prosper again. But see how God wants to reason with us today. What are the tasks that he has done? In verse 15 to 17, it says that God is so much greater than the nations. Behold the nations. They're like a drop in a bucket. You have a big bucket, you know, like lots of water in it, and you just see this little... The nations, like, get this. Like, what are we talking about here, friends? Remember the Mongol Empire? Kublai Khan. Like the biggest empire the world ever seen. From one ocean almost to the other, there was a family issue and they had to turn back. Yeah. The Assyrian, the Persian, the Egyptian, the Babylonian, the Greek, the Dutch, the Spanish, the Roman, the Chinese, the West, the East, the British Empire, the Mayan Empire. All these nations, like, and you look at history, study history. Study history in order to make a little history. Otherwise, it's like planting cut flowers, is it not? Behold, the nations are but a drop in the bucket, small as dust, let and less than nothing. And we tremble before these nations, like these big powers, like, oh, it's the geopolitical thing, you know. No, I won't even get into any of this, you know, like who's meeting who on Tuesday, and blah, 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 oh boy, oh boy. And we just tremble and shake and all that kind of thing. And God says, what? Nations? Get perspective. They come and they. You said it. Because you've been around. Some of us actually have, our wigs are a little different color. Nobody here has white. Anyways, you guys are amazing. Wait, and you'll see all kinds of unbelievable. Kingdoms of this a world, the king, listen, friends, the kingdoms of this world have an illusion of permanence. But there's only one kingdom that will last forever and ever, and that's the kingdom of our God and of our Christ. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 22, what do we read? It is he who sits above the vault of the earth. Is the earth big? Well, this is the latest thing, you know. Pop up there, SpaceX or who knows what, Mr. Bezos will take you up there, and a little tour of the thing, and they all come back, and it's like, whoa, I can't believe what we saw. Like, and it must be amazing. You see these little things, you know, this little earth, you know, and it's just like so huge. But God dwarfs the world. 8 billion people, but we're like grasshoppers. Soon you'll see them popping around. Up, 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 up. Grasshoppers. Vast sky above the bun. What puny figures you and I are compared with the whole planet in which we live. And the world dwarfs, listen to this, the world dwarfs us all. And you feel so small, but get this, God dwarfs the world. You said, really? Really. He is greater than the world, so that all the feverish activity of us humans has no more effect on him as the chirping of grasshoppers in the summer grass. Get this one. Verse 23 to verse 25, Isaiah 40. He it is who reduces the rulers of this world to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth. But he merely blows on them. Like stubble. Great leaders. Laws, policies determine the welfare of millions, and we tremble. Oh. Would-be rulers, dictators, empire builders, elite, who can plunge the world seemingly into global war. Look at history, Sennacherib, Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great, Caesar, Napoleon, Hitler, Putin, Biden, Xi, Marco, Macron, Queen Elizabeth, Victoria. Oh my. Where are they? Who is the Prime Minister of Canada? Like, who's the seventh Prime Minister? You don't even know. Like, wasn't there another guy? His name was gone. Gone. Don't worry. They'll be gone. And you say, oh, we put all our hope in them. They were going to be the savior, right? Yay! Friends, they come, they go. Nero used to be one of the greatest Caesars, right? At one time. And now what is, perhaps you call your dog Nero or a pizza joint. And do you suppose that it is really these great leaders who determine which way the world will go, perhaps a little bit here and there, and God places them for his ultimate purpose. God is greater than these leaders. Think again. He reduces the rulers to nothing, judges meaningless. He blows on them and they wither, and the storms carry them away like stubble. But then God is greater than the stars. Oh, let's talk about that. Look at the stars. Look at the galaxies. Did you see that little line at the, you know, like 1 kilometer, 27 billion, you know, like numbers that stagger us. You've heard of the Hubble Space Telescope? That's old history. Because now, of course, you know that there's the James Webb Space Telescope, the JWST, which is stationed 1.5 million kilometers from Earth and takes those, like amazing how they just open up and everything like that. You stand on a clear night, look at the stars, and you have this sense of amazing remoteness. I remember we were up in Trout Lake, which is north of Bancroft, about half an hour. The fire was lit, the canoes were pulled up to the shore, and it was as clear. And then you could see the little Sputniks and the space station and all kinds of other things going by. And friends, do that this summer. And your eyes start getting, what's that? Is that a cloud? No. Finally, your eyes start focusing a little bit. And I got Cadillacs taken out of my eyes the other day. But no, and I didn't even get to. They said, I misheard, you know, cataracts. But anyways, I can see clearly now. And you look up into the sky, you know, and unbelievable. And that smoky thing. They're tiny little stars. And that's just one little portion of our tiny little galaxy. And we're left. We see our littleness and our insignificance. And whenever you think, you know, like, look at me, I'm something. Go out and look at the stars, friends. If you can even grasp it. Our littleness, our insignificance. And when you lie on your bed at night and finally that social media is off and you say, who am I? What am I on this vast, huge universe that anyone who gives a rip whether I live or die? You see, that's the beginning of the conversation. It isn't about you, it's about him who actually loves us in Christ. It just blows your mind away. And we're left mentally numb, dizzy, and it takes our breath away. We're astounded. Numbers that say there are 200, at least in the past they said there are 200 billion, get that, 200 billion galaxies observable in the universe. You guys are smart and you know what that means. Just figure out a 200 billion. But now with this JWST telescope, they guesstimate. I didn't say, and it's according to Forbes, and it's already 4 years old, that there are 1.1 to 2 trillion galaxies. And galaxies, they're superclusters which form massive structures of galaxies. Our galaxy alone, you know, the Milky Way, you know, the one that you see over there? And maybe there's some astronomers over here that know so much more, and you're probably a lot smarter. Get up here and give all the details. But anyways, our galaxy is just a medium-sized Milky Way, which they estimate there's 100 billion stars in our galaxy. And there's trillions of galaxies. Planets in our Milky Way, and we have one star, and we have 8 planets. I know, I didn't want to ruin your morning. Better have a coffee or try and take this in. This is, my mind reels. Our imaginations can't grasp outer space. And that was just a tiny little representation. But what is this to God? What does it say in verse 26? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one he leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name. And you know, astronomers, they call XM7073-2. They have a little name for him. God knows everyone. Even black holes and these men, and they blow up and all that. And he's like, what? That? He knows them. And not one of them is lost. He calls them by name because of the greatness of his power and might. And strength, not one of them is missing. And you say, that is just too tough to understand. I can't get it. Well, get it. Because that is our God. You say, that is too amazing. And that's who he is. We didn't even walk into church here today and, let's just worship the guy down, the big boy, you know? And when you realize how great God is, it's amazing. Oh. Wow. He calls them by name. He's their maker. He's their master. And then you see our little planet. Mountain, sea, sand, perhaps you'll sit by a beach. 8 billion people. Whew, and zoom down to that one person lying on that lawn. And what happens? All of a sudden, get into the eyeball. Oh, that little thing? Well, take a journey. My father taught at McGill University. And he'd take me down to this room where they had these electron microscopes. He wasn't in that department. He was in the botany department. I thought it was so boring, plants and all that kind of stuff. I wish I would have listened, because I love gardening now. And you're one. And you are one. Each one of you sitting here, you're one this morning. And you say, well, what about my name? No, you. And you have an eye. And God knows you. And every molecule, and when we would look into that electron microscope, you go down into the nucleus and the chromosomes and the DNA and the protons and the, oh my. It's just like, they don't even know how deep that goes. The distance out into the outer galaxies, and then as deep as into, blows your mind. And scientists and doctors, they're just kind of like squirting around this a little bit and doing some amazing things. But all it does, it shows the amazing greatness of God. And he made all that, and he knows you and the exact, and that's what Psalm 130, before you were even born, I put that together. Oh, chance. Yeah, right. You got to be nuts to believe in that. Nuts. It all works perfect. A Rolex watch doesn't even work that perfectly. Think about it. And you walk along the sand shore and you pick up that Rolex watch and you just throw it in the air and say, chance. Get real. Listen, God made these things. God made you. And he loves you with an everlasting love manifest in Christ. Wow, I've got to watch my time. I might get enthused about this. Perspective, friends. Hate to break it to you. I am not the center of the universe. Okay, how are you keeping your universe together? Not well. Well, I got to figure it out. You do you. Yeah, you do you. How's that working out? You have all power. You have all knowledge. You never change. I know. That's only God. And he made you, though. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And he says, come to me. Come to me. And so there were disillusioned, downcast people. They had lost perspective. I lose perspective. Maybe you lose perspective too. To whom then will you liken me? Isaiah 40:25. We've got wrong thoughts about God. No one or nothing like him. Luther said to another theologian, your thoughts of God are too human. The incomparable God never changes. And God has not abandoned us. He never abandons us in verse 27. Why do you say, Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? No. God knows all the problems, the difficulties, the different circumstances that you have. And like a good shepherd, he takes care of us. God has not left you high and dry. Not at all. Shame on us for our pessimism dishonors God. And God does not become weak or weary. Verse 28, do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. So yesterday, I was with my son. Two of my sons, and my youngest son's father-in-law, Eric, said, they have a cottage right there on south of Picton. So we got to get all these docks out. One section after the other with waders, and it's just water is up there, and muck is sucking you in, and all that kind of thing. You got to get these boat cradles out and all that. And then the neighbor wants you to help, and you do all those things. And you're lifting all these weights and doing all that kind of thing. Well, I'm not that old, but I'm not that young either, you know, that kind of thing. You would have been tired at the end of the day, and I'd just come home, and my wife says, oh, yeah, I did do some fishing, too. Caught a fish, nice fish. Got a picture, show you later. I get tired. Anybody here get tired? Oh, there's a few. We get, and there's not too many liars here, you know. No, it's true. We all get tired. You know, that's just the way it is. Can you imagine that God never becomes weak or weary or tired? Never. It's just like, it's a bit much, you know? Like, you come back home and says, don't talk to me. I'm just need a nap. And then I'll, you know, like, can you imagine? Hey, God, are you tired? You need a nap? No, he never. It's like, what? You see, we transpose who we are upon God. Transference. No, he is. Don't think that God has grown old or tired. Has no one ever told you the truth about me, he says? You know, for me, the awkward moment is when you're wearing Nike running shoes and you realize you can't do it anymore. But God never weakens. He never tires. And verse 29 to 31, oh, he gives strength to the weary. God, are you tired of life sometimes? Sometimes I find young people are more tired than anybody else. I don't know. Sometimes older. You know, you just give strength to the weary. Are you weary? He gives to him who lacks might, he increases power. Youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. Yet those who wait for the Lord, that great God, they'll gain new strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run, not get tired. They'll walk and not become weary. Wait on the Lord. What does that mean in meditation? In his mighty power? It means to wait, to look for, to hope, to expect, to trust, to have patience, to act in faith, expecting God's perfect timing and guidance in my life. Wait on God. And it's just not your friend, you know, you just text him. No, God Almighty. And before you even say it, because even when you text, you don't know exactly what you're saying. You have to have autocorrect. No, he knows. And even if you can't say it, he says, I understand. And trust me. I love you, and I will give you new strength. And then you will mount up like wings like eagles. I've seen eagles already. Oh, go out. Get out of the city. You don't see them here. Beautiful eagles. And they go up, and you'll see those wings. And they're just, and then you see just the little feather just like move, and all of a sudden, just like, whoa, gains perspective, and just rides the draft. Effortless. Better than any drone, because you got to bring it back home. The drone does. God gives strength. You'll run and not be tired. You'll walk and not become weary. Had a whole lot of other things that I wanted to say, but that's it. Communion. You say, like, so what? So, friends, can you imagine that? This amazing, wonderful God, magic. We worship him. But what about Jesus? Who's Jesus? Listen, gets even better. And he, that is Jesus, is, listen carefully, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him, all things were created. Who created this universe and you and everything? Jesus, who is God, both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Not only did he create them, but he holds that amazing world and you together. He's the head of the body, the church, and he's the beginning. He's the firstborn of the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. You want to know God? Look at Christ. Christ is God. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or on things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. Oh, so God made this amazing world, everything perfect. Has God really said? Wasn't that the first putting doubt on God's word? We're progressive. Has God really said? And that is everywhere now. Has God really said, ha, ha, ha? And man said, I don't need God. Got a little word for you. I am God. I make the rules. I rule my world. How did that work for us? We're crushed, shattered, despaired, hopeless. Suspended in between heaven and earth, and his blood dropped from the ground for you, for me, so that this relationship.